Hare Krishna. Today's speaker is Her Grace Preeti Vilasini Mataji. So today Mataji will cover the seventh part of Yuddha Kanda in Valmiki Ramayana. And today we will listen about the Indrajit's magic. Hanuman lifts the mountain with healing herbs. Indrajit begins the Nikumbila Devi Yaga. So thank you so much, Mataji, for your for doing so much efforts to give us the nectar. So now I would like to hand over the call to you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji, thank you so much. Vandava pranams to everyone on the call. Thank you so much for joining. So we'll continue to see from Yuddha Kanda of Valmiki Ramayana. So I'll start off with the prayers. Om Ajnana Thinirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangun Langayate Kiran Yat Krapatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Radhanatha Swami Nityanamne. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamne. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Parashayata Deshadharini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prayers to Valmiki, Hanuman, and Lord Sri Ramchandra. Kujantam Rama Rameti, Madhuram Madhuraksharam, Aruhya Kavita Shakam, Vande Valmiki Kokilam. Valmikir Munisimhasya Kavita Vanacharinah Shrimvan Ramakathanatam Konayati Paramgatam. Vedavedye Parepumse Jati Dashratatmaji Veda Pracheta Sadasi Sakshat Ramayanatmana. Anjananandanam Vedam Janaki Shokanashanam Kapisham Akshahantaram Vande Lanka Bhayankaram. Manojavam Maruta Tulya Vegam Jitendriyam Buddhimatam Varishtam Vatatmajam Vanarayudamukyam Sri Ramadhutam Sri Rasanamami. Anjaneya Madhipatanalanam Kanchanadri Kamaniya Vigraham Parijata Taramula Vasinam Bhavayami Pavamananandanam Yatra Yatra Raghunatha Kirtanam Tatra Tatra Krutam Mastakanjalim Bhashpavari Paripurna Lochanam Marutim Namata Rakshasantakam Sri Raghavam Dasharatatmajam Apramiyam Sita Patim Raghukulanmaya Ratnadeepam Ajanubahum Aravinda Dayaladaksham Ramam Nishachara Vinashakam Namami. So we are continuing with Yuddha Kanda. In the previous class, we stopped at a point where Kumbhakarna entered the battlefield and he was eventually killed by Lord Sri Ram. So we have to continue from there. So, after hearing the news that Kumbhakarna was killed by Ram, when the news came to Ravana, Ravana faints. Actually, for a few minutes, he loses consciousness and he faints. And with great difficulty, he regains his consciousness and he wonders how Kumbhakarna, who is so invincible, he is so powerful, he is so huge, he can kill armies of enemies. How is it that Kumbhakarna died in the hands of Ram? So he was extremely depressed and he felt like he had lost his right arm. So as Ravana was lamenting and crying like this over the death of Kumbhakarna, Trishira, one of Ravana's sons, he came forward and he consoled his father and he told that he will go to the battlefield and kill Ram. So hearing these heroic words of Trishira, who was consoling his father, the other sons of Ravana, who were Devantaka, Narantaka and Atikeya, they all came forward and they said they will also join the fight. So all the brothers said, we'll all go together and we'll go and finish off Ram. So at that time, when the sons were getting ready to go to the battlefield, Ramana says, okay, I bless you all. I hope you all bring back victory. And along with them, he also sends Mahodhara and Mahaparshva. So Mahodhara and Mahaparshva were stepbrothers of Ravana. So he sends these two brothers to guard his sons. So like this, all the sons, some of the sons of Ramana, who were Trishiras, Devantaka, Narantaka, Atikaya, and the two brothers of Ravana, stepbrothers, Mahodhara and Mahaparshva, all of them, they enter the battlefield. And along with them, huge armies of demons also go. Now, when these this huge army enters the battlefield along with elephants, horses, and chariots. The Vanaras see them and they take huge rocks and trees and they begin to fight these demons. So several demons were killed in the battle during this fight. And when Narantaka entered the battlefield with his spear, he killed several Vanaras. Meanwhile, those Vanaras who were thrown down unconscious by Kumbhakarna earlier, they regain their consciousness and they go and approach Sugriva for help. Because Sugriva is their king, they go and they ask Sugriva to come and help. And then Sugriva and Angada, both of them, they take leadership and they start fighting. So Narantaka, he hurls a spear towards Angada's chest, but then the spear itself breaks down. Then Angada strikes Narantaka's horse with his hand and the horse falls down. Then Angada and Narantaka, they exchange blows with their fists and finally Narantaka dies. So similarly, Mahodara, Trishira, Devantaka, they all start attacking Angada. And Angada again attacks them and Angada hits them with his palms. Devantaka's elephant falls down dead. And seeing Angada being surrounded by so many demons, Hanuman comes running along with Neela. So Hanuman and Neela join these Vanaras and they also start fighting. With Hanuman's fist, he kills Devantaka. Trishira and Mahodara attack Neela with their arrows and Mahodara dies in the hands of Neela. And while Hanuman and Trishira fight with each other, Hanuman finally kills Trishira by chopping off his three heads. Trishira, that means he had three heads. So Hanuman chops off all the three heads, taking Trishira's sword itself. So he grabs the sword of Trishira and with his own sword, he chops off Trishira's head. So then Mahaparshva, he came and he attacked a Vanara called Rishabha. And banging Mahaparshva's head with Mahaparshva's own mace, Rishabha kills him. So like this, you know, we'll go through this very quickly because mainly it is war and all of them are eventually going to die. So I'll keep it really short. So like this, most of the demons sent in this batch were killed. But however, Atikaya was left. He was very, very powerful. And seeing the size of Atikaya was so huge. And in fact, he looked like another Kumbhakarna. So when he was marching like that in the battlefield, seeing him, Ram inquired about him from Vibhishan. Because Vibhishan is also from the demon family. So Vibhishan would know about all these demons. So Ram inquired, who is this person? He looks so huge. Who is it? Can you tell me something about him? So at that time, Vibhishan tells that Atikaya is actually the son of Ravana and Dhyanamani. So we know Ravana, one of the wives was Mandodari. So the other wife was called as Dhyanamali. He had several wives and these two were quite prominent, Dhyanamali and Mandodari. So he says that Ravana and Dhyanamali, they had a son and this son is actually Atikaya. And he is as powerful as Ravana and Kumbhakarna in battle. So then all the Vanara commanders, they all go and they start fighting with Atikaya. And Atikaya very effortlessly, he chops off the trees and the rocks that were hurled at him by these Vanaras. Then Atikaya, he said, okay, I'm enough of fighting with all these Vanaras. And he moves forward and he calls out Ram. He challenges Ram for a fight. But then Lakshmana, with his bow and arrow, he stopped Ram and he said, I will go and fight with Atikaya. So then Atikaya and Lakshmana have a very fierce fight. Atikaya pierces Lakshmana's chest with sharp arrows and Lakshmana releases the Agni weapon and Atikaya counteracts it with the Surya weapon. Like this fight goes on and on for a very long time. So they attack each other with different kinds of astras and missiles, like, you know, which were empowered by different kinds of demigods. So this fight goes on and for a very long time, Lakshmana was not able to do anything to Atikaya. So at that time, what happened was that the wind god, Vayudev, he came personally and he appeared in front of Lakshman and he advised Lakshman. He said, this Atikaya is very, very difficult to be conquered because of the armor he's wearing. The armor that Atikaya is wearing was given to him by Lord Brahma itself. It's a boon from Lord Brahma. So it's very difficult to destroy Atikaya as long as he's wearing this armor. That's why it is so hard for you. So I tell you a secret. You split his armor with a Brahmastra and that is the only way he can be killed. So then Lakshmana finally splits Atikaya's armor and his head is chopped off by Lakshman, and the head of Atikaya falls down on the ground just like a huge peak of the mountain. So like this, Atikaya is also dead. Now, all of them who were sent, the sons of Ravana and his brothers, all of them are killed by the Vanara in a very, very short time. Now, the news reaches Ravana, again, that all of his relatives are dead. Atikaya, Dhumraksha, Kampana, Prahasta, Kumbhakarna, all these mighty demon warriors were killed in battle by these simple Vanaras and Ram and Lakshman. So Ravana became very, very anxious. He was so surprised as to how Ram and Lakshman, first of all, got released from the Nagastra made by Indrajit. So remember how Garuda came and helped them. So Ravana was thinking, how are they successful every time? Every time they bind them, every time we use these intense weapons, somehow they have a way around it and they are able to come out of it. So then he begins to think that actually they are no ordinary human beings. And he begins to feel that no demon is actually capable of defeating Ram and Lakshman. So then he calls out to all the remaining warriors, the demoniac warriors, and he tells them to go and protect the main city gates of Lanka and also give full protection to the Ashoka garden where Sita was being held captive. So he tells his army not to be indifferent to the movements of all these Vanara warriors and be very, very alert, because anytime anything can happen. So after issuing these necessary commands to the army, he enters into his palace and he begins to lament for the death of so many of his sons and his brothers. So seeing Ravana so depressed at the loss of so many of his sons and his brothers, Indrajit, who's the eldest son, he's still alive, right? He's been very active in the battle. So Indrajit, being the eldest son, he goes and he promises Ravana that he will destroy Ram and Lakshman this time. So Indrajit himself was actually as strong as Ravana, and he even had the power to fight invisible in the battle. So he was extremely powerful and he had so many boons from Brahma. So in fact, he had even conquered Indra, and hence he got his name as Indrajit. So finally, Indrajit was the only hope practically Ravana had. So Indrajit promised his father that he will take care, and he sets out for the battle accompanied by his own army. And after reaching the battlefield, what Indrajit did is he performed a sacrificial ritual there. So he made oblations to the fire. And after performing the sacrificial ritual, Indrajit, he immediately becomes invisible and he disappears into the sky. So being invisible and fighting from the sky between the clouds, Indrajit began to shower thousands and thousands of arrows towards all the Vanaras. All the entire Vanara army lost their consciousness. Then he focused on Ram and Lakshman and he invokes the Brahmastra and he starts hurling the Brahmastra weapon at a huge chunk of the Vanara army as well as Ram and Lakshman. So when the arrows were falling like this and the Brahmastra was invoked, at the time Ram tells Lakshman that he along with Lakshman should actually submit to the Brahmastra released by Indrajit just to honor the weapon, because this weapon was blessed by Brahma. So to give respect to Brahma, Ram says, no, we must honor this weapon. So let us be hit by this weapon, and both of them, they fall down unconscious. Now, in the battlefield, by the missiles of Indrajit, Ram, Lakshman, and almost the entire Vanara of the army had actually fallen unconscious. So all of them fainted. Sugriva, Neela, Angada, Jambavan, all of them, they didn't know what to do. They were all falling down and they were bleeding. They didn't know what to do. They couldn't move. So seeing this entire army looking so worried, Vibhishan, he was very powerful. He told Sugriva, actually, I see that Ram and Lakshman, who are the sons of Dasharath, they have actually been very kind. They are trying to honor the Brahmastra. So that's why they have voluntarily lost their free will. They have become very dejected and they have allowed themselves to be knocked down by these missiles of Indrajit. So Sugriva, you don't be afraid, because Sugriva is the king of the Vanaras. So Vibhishan was instilling confidence in him, saying, you don't be afraid. Somehow we will find a solution to this. So then Hanuman, who had the boon that Brahmastra cannot do anything to him. He got up very fast. And Vibhishan, both of them, they got up together, and at the time of the night, they roamed around with torches in their hands, like fire torches. They held fire torches, and they were roaming around in the night where the entire Vanara army was actually fallen down, knocked down. So they held up these torches, and they started walking, trying to find where all the Vanara leaders were. So they saw several Vanaras who were hurt very severely, and they also saw Sugriva, Angada, Neela, Sharaba, Gandamandana, Gavaksha, Sushena, Vegadarshi, all these Vanara leaders. They saw all these Vanara leaders being struck down in the battlefield. In fact, 67 crores of powerful Vanaras were struck down by the Brahmastra of Indrajit. So finally, they came towards Jambavan. Now, Jambavan is also the son of Indra. Okay, the son of Brahma, forgive me. Jambavan was the son of Brahma. So when they saw Jambavan, who is the son of Brahma, he was very, very old. And his body was also pierced by so many arrows. And he couldn't get up, but he was still conscious. He was conscious. He was able to hear, his senses were still acting. So at that time, Vibhishan went near Jambavan, and he tried to talk to him. So that time when Jambavan heard the voice of Vibhishan, he said, "Hey Vibhishan, I'm unable to open my eyes and see because I've been hurt by so many arrows and I'm bleeding so profusely, but I'm able to recognize you by your voice. I know you have come, Vibhishan. Vibhishan, tell me, is Hanuman, the best among all the Vanaras, the son of Anjana and Vayu, is he holding his life? Is he anywhere nearby? Is Hanuman around? Is he alive?" Like that, Jambavan asks Vibhishan. So hearing the words of Jambavan, Vibhishan was very surprised. He was asking, "Why is it? Why is it that you inquire about Hanuman instead of inquiring about Ram or Lakshman? How come you have this exceptional affection only towards Hanuman? You're not even showing this affection towards Sugriva. Sugriva is supposed to be the leader of the monkey army, leader of the Vanaras. And Ram and Lakshman, they are the leaders of, they are the emperor, son of the emperor. You're not asking about them, but you're asking about Hanuman. So tell me, what is so special about Hanuman?" So at that time, hearing these words of Vibhishan, Jambavan said, "Hey Vibhishna, I'm inquiring about Hanuman because if that brave Hanuman is surviving, the whole army, even if they are killed, they can come back to life and they can remain unhurt. But on the other hand, if Hanuman alone has given up his life, then we are all as good as dead, even though we are just living now for namesake. So if Hanuman, who is equal to the wind in his speed and fire in his power, survives, then there is a hope for all of us to survive." So hearing these beautiful words of Jambavan, Hanuman immediately approached this old Jambavan, offered his obeisances, held his feet, held the feet of Jambavan with utter modesty, and he asked Jambavan, "Jambavan, tell me, what should I do?" So hearing this voice of Hanuman, Jambavan was so happy. He felt like he was reborn again. So then Jambavan told Hanuman, "Come on, Hanuman, now you are our only hope. Now you have to protect the life of all these Vanaras. So cheer up all these Vanara warriors and also the bears. Heal Ram and Lakshman from all their wounds. Hanuman, you are the only one who is capable of executing this task. What you must do now is, you go to the Himalayas. Himalayas is the best of all the mountains. Travel, begin to travel now. Jump across the ocean. Traverse across all the regions of the Bharatavarsha. And there, you will see a beautiful mountain called as Mount Rishabha. And you will also see the beautiful peak called Kailasha. So you will see two important peaks in the Himalayan range. One is Mount Rishabha and the other one is the abode of Lord Shiva, which is Kailash. Between these two peaks, there is a very, very beautiful mountain which is golden in luster. So it will be shining like fire. In the midst of these two peaks, this brilliant mountain contains all the important herbs. So Hanuman, on the peak of this brilliant mountain, there are four blazing herbs. You can see them, the way they are illuminating in all directions. And you have to find these four following herbs. The name of these herbs are Mrita Sanjeevani. Mrita Sanjeevani, which is capable of restoring the dead back to life. Second herb is Vishalyakarani. Vishalyakarani is capable of extracting the weapons from the body of a person who has been attacked by several weapons, and it heals all the wounds instantly. Like the weapon is withdrawn out of the body and immediately the blood and all the whole, whatever, piercing, everything goes off and the person gets healed very beautifully. Then Suvarnakarani. This restores the person's body's complexion to the original condition. So when a person is being hit in the war, he loses his original complexion. So this Suvarnakarani, it restores the person's original glow and charm. And Sandani. So this Sandani herb, what it does is it's capable of joining the severed limbs and fractured bones. So magical, right? So these four herbs Hanuman was asked to bring. What are these four herbs? I'll read it again. It's Mrita Sanjeevani, Vishalyakarani, Suvarnakarani, and Sandini. So Mrita Sanjeevani can even bring back a dead person to life. Vishalyakarani is capable of extracting weapons and healing wounds. Suvarnakarani will restore the original complexion of the body. And Sandini is a herb that is capable of joining the severed limbs and fractured bones. So he gives this instruction to Jambavan gives this instruction to Hanuman. And Hanuman, he's extremely enthused. Jambavan tells him that now you have to inject back the lives to all the Vanaras. So hearing these words of Jambavan, Hanuman was infused with animated strength and he was all set to depart. So he went, he climbed on the mountain of Trikuta, where actually Ravana's Lanka is situated. So he goes and he climbs on that mountain. He presses down the mountain with his feet. And Hanuman himself, he started growing in size. He appeared like a second mountain. And the city of Lanka was agitated and everybody was in panic while he was pressing down the mountain with his feet like that. And all the principal gates were broken and all the houses and town gates, they were all shattered. And the entire city of Lanka appeared like as if it was dancing in the night. So when Hanuman was trying to push Lanka down like that. So from that mountain Trikuta, Hanuman shouted, Jai Shri Ram! And he jumped and he flew through the entire island of Lanka. And from there, offering his respects to the grand ocean, he crossed the great ocean and Hanuman quickly flew and flew like the Sudarshan Chakra that is released from the fingers of Lord Vishnu. And he crossed the entire region of Bharatvarsha. And there, remembering the words of Jambavan, Hanuman finally saw Mount Himalaya. He saw the Himalayan range. Now, he saw this beautiful mountain with having these excellent peaks. He saw the holy hermitages of many sages. Many sages had taken shelter of the Himalayas. He also saw in the Himalayas the Kailash, which is the abode of Lord Shiva. There were also several abodes of many demigods that are situated in the Himalayas. He also saw different abodes of Brahma, Indra, Lord Hayagriva, the horse-faced Supreme Lord. Like that, he saw the abode of the sun god, abode of the Kinkaras, like that, Agni Dev, Kubera, like that, all these demigods, they had residential areas in the Himalayas. So he was seeing all these residential areas that was revealed to him of all these different demigods and Lord Hayagriva. And he also saw a huge hole through which you can actually enter Patala Loka from the Himalayas. So Himalayas, they say, you know, from the Gandhamandra mountain, you can actually access different realms. You can go to higher realms and all that. So he could even see the access point to the Patala Loka. So like that, Hanuman was seeing all these important places in the Himalayas. And finally, he saw this Rishabha mountain and the Kailash mountain. And he saw this golden peak in between these two peaks. Okay, so he could spot this golden peak that had all these important herbs. So seeing this peak that was shining like fire, Hanuman, he got down. And he started walking across this mountain trying to search for the important herbs that Jambavan had specifically told him. So he walked around the mountain and he searched and searched. However, these herbs, they would only make themselves visible when they wanted. Okay, they were magical. They would make themselves visible when needed and invisible when not needed. So basically, these herbs, they knew that somebody was coming in search of them and they disappeared from Hanuman's view. So it was an anticlimax. At that time, the herbs didn't want to reveal themselves to Hanuman. And Hanuman, he was very angry not seeing these herbs. As it is, he was in a hurry. And he was in the service of Lord Ram. So he was very determined to accomplish the task. But these herbs were not revealing themselves to him. So he was enraged. He was so angry. He made a loud noise and anger and he was just not able to bear it. His eyes became red hot like fire and he got so angry and he told, "Hey, Prince of Mountains, hey, you peak, why are you not showing compassion to Lord Ram? Lord Ram is the Supreme. He's a Supreme Lord and you're not ready to show compassion to him? You don't want to reveal yourself to him? Okay, I think now I must show my strength. So get ready," he says that. And he begins to lift that entire peak of mountain. Now, in the material world, there is a saying that where there is a will, there is a way. But in the spiritual realm, when there is mercy of the Lord, one becomes empowered by the Lord. So Hanuman, basically at this point, he was completely empowered by the Lord because he had Lord Ram's mercy. He was completely empowered. So fiercely, Hanuman, seizing hold of the top of the mountain, he uprooted the entire mountain and he frightened everybody. So Hanuman sprang up into the sky, holding the mountain in his hand, and he proceeded with terrible speed. With the speed of the wind, he started traveling with the mountain stretched out in his hands. So Anjaneya, he had all the capabilities. He could think fast, first thing. He went there, he surveyed the area, he was trying to search the herbs. He couldn't find the herbs. So he could think fast and he could understand these herbs are not revealing themselves. Then he took a clear decision. He saw the herbs are not revealing themselves. Okay, I will take this entire mountain. So that was the decision that he took. And he did it without wasting any time. It's not like he sat there for days trying to find the herb. Oh, the herb is not there. Let me take some more time. No, he took his decision really fast and he was fully capable.
Hare Krishna.
Am I still there, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji, you were cut off.
Okay.
Now you can start.
So he had all the capabilities. He could think fast. He could take a clear decision without wasting any time. And he was fully capable of implementing his ideas. Sometimes we get very bright ideas, but we are not capable of implementing them. But Hanuman, with the mercy of Lord Ram, the surrender he had towards Lord Ram, he was fully capable, he was empowered to take the action. And also he was given the strength to face all the impediments in the path. So all these qualities were there in Hanuman. He had all these qualities. So this pastime of Anjaneya going there and trying to find the herbs and carrying the mountain is also very instructive for us. So we should learn during tough circumstances. We should know to think fast based on the time that is available for us. We should be able to take a clear decision. We should be capable of executing our decision, the idea that we have thought of. And also we should have the strength to face any obstacles that come once we have taken up the action. So like this, Hanuman, he began carrying this mountain and he began to fly. So Hanuman, with this huge mountain in his hand, he looked like Lord Vishnu with his chakra in his hand. He looked very similar to Lord Vishnu holding chakra. So like that, Hanuman flew and flew. He crossed the ocean and he reached Lanka. So then when he reached Lanka, seeing Hanuman coming, all the Vanaras, who were some of them who had consciousness, they were all making a loud noise. They were so happy to see Hanuman. And Hanuman, in turn, he roared in delight. So hearing so much roaring of the Vanaras and the loud roar of Hanuman, all the inhabitants of Lanka, they also roared more terribly because they were all so scared. So like this, Hanuman came and he took this huge mountain and he placed it very carefully. And once he placed the mountain there, he went, he offered his obeisances to all the Vanara leaders with his head bent low. Then he went, got up and embraced Vibhishan. So when the mountain had come, just by inhaling the fragrance of these great herbs, both Ram and Lakshman, they became healed of all their wounds then and there. And the other Vanara warriors who were there, they rose up. They all rose up. And by the fragrance of these powerful herbs, all the Vanara warriors who were earlier dead, they were healed of their wounds, relieved of their pain, and they even came back to life. So practically, the entire Vanara army came back to life, and all their wounds were healed, and they were completely normal by this time. So if the herbs had healed everyone, had healed all the people in the battlefield, all the entire Vanara army in the battlefield, and brought them back to life, then it makes logical sense, right, that the demons who were dead should have also been brought back to life, right? So then all the dead demons would have been brought back to life. That's logical. But what happened there? The Vanaras came back to life, but the demons didn't come back to life. Why? Because though there were many demons who were killed in great numbers, actually what happened was, from the day the Vanaras and the demons began to fight in Lanka, from that day onwards, under the order of Ravana, all these demons who were being killed by the Vanaras were being thrown away into the sea as and when they were killed. Why? Just for the sake of honor, so that their number, the number of the deaths of the demons, may not be revealed to the Vanaras. Because if the Vanaras see, oh, okay, so many hundreds of demons are being killed, then it will enthuse the Vanaras to fight and they will know that they are winning, right? So for that sake, just for the sake of honor, just for the sake of not revealing the exact number of deaths, under Ravana's order, all the dead demons were taken and dumped into the ocean. So the psychology of hiding the death of the demons actually worked against them. They never knew that this mountain is going to come and save everyone's life. The Vanaras all got up, but the demons, they were all in the ocean, and unfortunate, they couldn't smell this herb. They didn't come out. So then Hanuman, with great speed, he carried away that once everyone was healed, the entire Vanara army got up. Hanuman, the mountain was kept there, right? So he took back this peak and he went and he kept it back in the Himalayas where he had taken it from. And he came back and he joined Lord Ram. So he had brought the mountain. He went all the way. He put it back in place and then he came back and joined Ram. So Hanuman basically was very responsible. He was a responsible citizen. He knew that, you know, not only did he use nature's gift wisely, but also he went and put back the mountain in its place without causing any imbalance in nature. So he was extremely responsible. So he did his task perfectly. So now that everybody recovered, Sugriva, he told Hanuman to start throwing fire or torches on the city of Lanka just to call back Ravana and Indrajit back into the battlefield. So with huge fire torches in their hands, all the Vanaras, they started throwing fire on all parts of Lanka across the gates of Lanka. And getting healed of their wounds, Ram and Lakshman, they took their bows and arrows and they resumed fighting. So they were shooting arrows at the gates and the buildings of the city of Lanka to agitate everyone. And Ravana, who was in the city, he got enraged and he realized that Ram, Lakshman and the Vanaras were back with full energy. Every time he tries to do something, these people, they just get back double times stronger. So he was really, really angry and he said, okay, who else do I have now? So he called for Kumbha and Nikumbha. Kumbha and Nikumbha were the sons of Kumbhakarna. So they were sent to the battlefield along with other demons to the battle. Now, a terrific fighting again began between the Vanaras and the demons, and the Vanaras finally surrounded the army of demons on all sides. Angada killed some of their associates like Kampana and Shonitaksha and many demons in battle. And Angada, along with Mainda and Vivida, who were also Vanaras, they encountered Shonitaksha, Yutaksha, Prajanga. Angada killed Prajanga. Shonitaksha died in the hands of Dvivida, and Yupaksha died in the hands of Mainda. Then Kumbha, he throws down Angada in the battlefield, and Ram sends some more Vanaras to support them, headed by Jambavan. And Sugriva, with his fist, he strikes Kumbha and kills him. Seeing Kumbha, his brother, being killed in the battlefield, Nikumbha, with an iron club in his hand, he goes to the battle, and Hanuman directly attacks Nikumbha by striking his fist on Nikumbha's breast. And Nikumbha tries to lift Hanuman from the ground, but Hanuman, in retaliation, he frees himself and he throws down Nikumbha on the ground. And shouting, "Jai Shri Ram," Hanuman descends on Nikumbha, pounds his chest, and he kills Nikumbha. So like this, Kumbha, Nikumbha, and all the other demons like Shonitaksha and others are killed. Now then Ravana again, he sends another demon called Makaraksha to go to the battlefield. And he tells Makaraksha, "Makaraksha, you are the son of Karadushan. Remember, they were killed in Janasthan." So he tells Makaraksha, "You are the son of Kara. So what is the use of you sitting here? Why are you sitting here still? You have to go to the battlefield and face your enemies. Go take revenge for your father's death." So then Makaraksha, surrounded by his army of demons, they all come into the forefront, and they begin to fight. They first begin to attack the Vanaras. And then finally, he makes his way through all the Vanaras, and he decides to encounter Ram directly. So Ram came forward to fight with Makaraksha, and Makaraksha challenged Ram to fight with him, and Ram tears off all the arrows that were hurled by Makaraksha, and Makaraksha, he broke the arrows released by Ram, and finally Ram ends up breaking his chariot, and Makaraksha takes a shula-like weapon, the Trishul kind of a weapon, and he hurls it at Ram. Ram chops it off with his arrows. And then finally, he tries to fight with Ram with his hands and fists, and Ram invokes the Pavakastra missile, and he kills Makaraksha on the spot. So all these demons are killed really fast. All of them are killed. And the remaining demons who were there with these chief warriors, they all return frightened back to Lanka. So they go and tell their king, Ravana, that so many of the important demons are killed. Now hearing that Makaraksha, Kumbha, Nikumbha, all of them have been killed, Ravana was so upset. He began grinding his teeth in rage. So Valmiki says, "Dantan katakata ayacha," katakata, like that he was grinding his teeth. And he was thinking what to do. He was so furious. He called for his son Indrajit and told Indrajit to proceed again to the battlefield. See, again and again, his hope at this point was only Indrajit. In between, he was sending other warriors, but he knew only with Indrajit he can really win this battle. So, not that he won it, but still, he had hopes on Indrajit. So, he called for his son Indrajit, and he told Indrajit to go to the battlefield. Now, before going to the battlefield, again, Indrajit, his usual methodology, right? First he will go, he'll perform a yajna, and then he'll go into the battlefield. So Indrajit went, and he performed all these ceremonial oblations into the fire. And again, he got this capacity of going out of sight, because he likes to fight invisible. So he went, and he proceeded to the battlefield, and he began to release a flood of arrows on Ram and Lakshman, remaining invisible in the sky. Now, with this network of arrows again, Indrajit, what he did was, he almost created darkness in the sky with so many showers of multitude arrows. So many arrows were falling on Ram and Lakshman and all the Vanaras again. So at this time, Ram and Lakshman, they were also trying to shoot back arrows, but somehow Indrajit was too fast and also he was invisible. So he was showering them with so many arrows. So When he was doing this, Ram and Lakshman, they began to talk to each other. They were trying to see a methodology by which they could actually capture Indrajit and destroy them. So while they were talking like this and trying to, you know, find a method of doing killing Indrajit, Indrajit was observing this, and he could understand the mind of Ram. He could know, he felt that Ram will somehow find a way, okay, to kill him. So Indrajit, he started planning. He also began to plan in his mind. He thought that now this is the time I should implement a very interesting plan. So he turned away from the battlefield and he suddenly started going back into the city of Lanka. Okay? So he went inside, and while he was going back, turning away from the battlefield and going to the city of Lanka, he was thinking in his mind about how all these big, big demons like Kumbhakarna and others were killed by these Vanaras and Ram and Lakshman. So with anger, he decided to play his conjuring tricks. Indrajit was a king of magical arts. So he began, he decided, this is the right time, I will now play a trick. So what he did, he placed an illusory image of Sita Devi on his chariot, and with a large army of his surrounding the chariot, he entered the battlefield again. So seeing him coming like that, with Sita and the chariot, now all these Vanaras, Ram, Lakshman, they don't know that this is an illusory image. They are seeing Sita and the chariot. Indrajit went back to the city of Lanka and he's come back with Sita Devi in the chariot. So all these Vanaras, they saw Sita and the chariot, and they all got so angry. First, the Vanaras caught sight of him. He was entering from the western gate, and that is where the Vanaras caught sight of him, and they were all led by Hanuman, the Vanaras on the west side. So they saw that Sita is coming in the chariot, and they were wondering, what is this Indrajit doing? So they took huge rocks in their hands, and they started attacking Indrajit while he was sitting in his chariot. And Hanuman saw Sita, who is the wife of Ram, the best among all women. She looked so miserable. She looked bereft of all happiness. She was just wearing a single braid of hair. Her face was so emaciated due to all the fasting. She was dressed in a single worn-out clothing. She had not showered. Her limbs were covered with dust and dirt. And she was sitting in the chariot of Indrajit. So seeing her for that moment, Hanuman thought, yes, this is Sita. I just recently saw her. I saw her in Ashoka Vatika, and she was in the exact same miserable condition. This is Sita. So Indrajit, he created this illusory Sita in the exact same condition. Even that, you know, he was so perfect in his magical tricks. He had created this illusory Sita in the exact same condition. So seeing her grief, you know, sitting like that in the chariot, and she looked so distressed, Hanuman was wondering, what is this Indrajit's intention? Why has he got Sita here? What is he going to do with my Sita, with Mother Sita? So all the Vanaras, they rushed towards Indrajit and they were trying to attack him. And Indrajit, who was excited with anger, what he did was he pulled Sita by her hair. He unsheathed his sword, and while those Vanaras were seeing, he began to strike Sita heavily, who was placed on the chariot, and Sita was calling out in pain. She was calling out, Ram, 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 in pain. And on seeing her being seized by her hair, Hanuman, he was filled with anxiety, and he was crying. Tears was flowing from his eyes. He was feeling deep agony. He was so angry. He screamed at Indrajit. He said, hey, you're so evil-minded. You're born in a dynasty of Brahminical sages. That is actually his father, his father's side, they were all Brahmins. So he was telling him, you're born in a dynasty of Brahminical sages, but you're so much a demon. You belong to the demoniac race. You touched the lock of hair of Sita Devi? She's the wife of Ram. You're surely on your way to ruination. You're so cruel, you're so vulgar, you're so mean. You're a wicked demon, you have all these sinful powers, you're a barbarian. You have no pity. Sita has come all the way from her house, from her kingdom to her husband's house, and from her husband's house she has come to the forest, and you have taken away Sita from Ram's protection, and now you grab her, put her on the chariot and bring her to the battlefield. What's wrong with you? What wrong has Sita done to you? Why are you treating her like this, and why are you taking your sword to kill her? How can you ever kill a woman? What is this? By killing Sita, remember, you're not going to live long. You deserve death. So like this, when Hanuman was telling Indrajit, Indrajit very coolly replied to Hanuman. He said, hey, Vanara, just see how I kill Sita. For her sake, you, Sugriva, Ram, Lakshman, this entire Vanara army has come here, right, to face all of us in battle. And you have killed so many of our demoniac associates. Now see how I kill her. And all your attempts will be futile. You've come all the way crossing the ocean. Everything will go in vain. I will just kill her. So you told me that women should not be killed. That is correct. But this woman, she's the sole cause of the destruction of all the Rakshasas, and she must be killed. So then Indrajit, he personally killed that illusory Sita who had been sobbing, because the Sita, she was also sobbing. She was crying, don't kill me, don't kill me. And with a sharp edged sword, he took and he chopped off the head of Sita. And Sita fell down on the ground. So after killing that illusory Sita, Indrajit told Hanuman, see, I've killed Ram's wife with my weapon. This Sita is dead. And now all your labor has gone in vain. So after killing Sita with his sword, this illusory Sita with his sword, Indrajit again sat on his chariot and he roared like a lion and he started laughing with deep pleasure. So seeing this, Indrajit, who's so happy and laughing like that, all the Vanaras were so upset. And many of the Vanaras, they started running away in all directions. They didn't know what to do. And Hanuman cried out to these Vanaras. He said, hey, Vanaras, why are you all running away? You're all born in good families. You must not run away from a battlefield. Don't leave him. All of you come back. Let's fight. Where is all your valor gone? Come back. So then all the Vanaras, they followed Hanuman and they went. And the Vanaras and the demons, again, they had a very huge battle. And Hanuman was striking this entire army of Indrajit. And Indrajit was also attacking them with several arrows. And Hanuman killed many, many, many of them. And then after a little time, Hanuman called all the Vanaras and told them, I think, okay, this is enough. You all must go back now because it's high time we go and inform Ram that something really bad has happened. So we have to go and inform Ram as early as possible. And we have to tell Ram and Sugriva about this entire matter, what has happened to Sita. So then they decide to go back. Withdraw back and go towards Ram. So when they are doing this, when the army of Hanuman was turning back, at that time, Indrajit decided to execute the second half of his plan. Okay, this is the first half, showing illusory Sita. Now, Hanuman, he was walking towards the place of Ram, and Indrajit thought this is the perfect time. So he hurriedly went back to a place called as Nikumbila. This place is also called as Nikumbila. The Devi whom he was doing the sacrifice towards, her name was also Nikumbila. Okay, so this called as the Nikumbila Arena. That's where he was going. So this Indrajit, he decided to go there and do a sacrifice. So that was the second half of the plan. Now Indrajit was very well versed in this technique of performing all these rites for the prosperity of the demons. He began to pour oblations according to all the scriptural injunctions to invoke this goddess and get all his extra powers. The demons were very, very powerful. Even in those days, actually, the demons, although they didn't have faith in God as such, they had faith in demigods. In other words, they had all the sense that there is some higher personal power other than us. You know, that much sense, even in those days, demons had. They didn't believe in the Supreme Lord as Lord Narayan or Lord Krishna or Vishnu or Ram. They didn't think of all that. But they knew that there are some personal powers beyond us, and by pleasing them, we can get the powers we are desiring. So that much sense these demons, they had in those days. So Indrajit, he decided to perform this particular child sacrifice to please this goddess so that he could get some extra powers. Okay. Now, meanwhile,
Ram, on the other side, he was very far away from all this illusory drama that was happening. He was very far away, but he could sense that there was a lot of noise coming from the west gate. So he asked Jambavan, there is so much noise from the Vanaras led by Hanuman. So it looks like Hanuman has been killing a lot of these demons. And somehow I feel, Jambavan, they may need your help. So why don't you go forward and extend your help to Hanuman? So Jambavan, he decided to walk towards the western gate, and there he saw Hanuman was actually coming away from the west gate, and he was walking towards Ram. So Jambavan stopped Hanuman and he asked, what happened? And Hanuman said, okay, let's go to Ram. I have something very important to say. So then Jambavan and Hanuman, they all, you know, in a very depressed state, they were all sighing, they were all in so much grief because Sita was dead. They all walked towards Ram, and quickly they reached the presence of Ram, and Hanuman went there, and with deep sorrow, he told Ram what had happened. He told, while I was in the battlefield, Indrajit, he entered the battlefield, and he had Sita in his chariot. And while we were all looking on and trying to stop him, Indrajit, this evil son of Ravana, he killed Sita. She was desperately weeping out in front of us. But this Indrajit killed her. Ramchandra, I'm so distressed. I'm so unfortunate. I couldn't help this in any way. So I've just come here to tell you the matter. So when Hanuman said this, Ram, he was shocked. He was agitated. He was filled with grief. He just fell down on the ground, just like a tree whose bottom is chopped off. He just fell down. He crashed on the ground. And seeing Ram falling down on the ground like this, all the chief of the Vanaras, they all came bouncing from all directions and rushed towards Lord Ram. They got some water, nice fragrant water, and they started sprinkling this water on Ram to wake him up, just like how one sprinkles water on burning fire. Ram was burning inside. They were sprinkling water on Ram to wake him up. And then Lakshmana, he held Ram in his hands, and his voice was all choked up. He said, "Oh, Dharma has become invisible. Is Dharma at all existing anymore? If Dharma had been effective, Ravana should have gone to hell. And my dear brother, Ram, who is endowed with all Dharma, all virtue, the very embodiment of Dharma, he wouldn't have gone through all these troubles. How can Sita die? Is there any absence of Dharma here? Is Dharma really existing?" Like that, he begins to lament. Then his mood changes. He says, Lakshmana says, "However, it cannot be true that Dharma has fully vanished. How can Dharma ever change? Ultimately, we know Dharma will win. So as long as Ram is there, he is the embodiment of Dharma. How can Dharma slide down? Sita cannot die. This is not correct. No, Sita is not dead. I cannot believe this. Sita is not dead. Don't give up, Ram. Don't give up. Don't give up your Kshatriya spirit. Get up. Get up and fight. I'm sure nothing has happened to Sita. Rise up, Ram. Nothing has happened to Sita. I will go now. This minute, I will go with my arrows and I will destroy this entire Lanka with its chariots, elephants, horses. And I will surely kill this Ravana right away." He says that and he gets up. Now, while Lakshmana, who's so fond of his brother, was consoling Ram, Vibhishan arrived there. So Vibhishan saw Lakshmana, who was totally engrossed in sorrow, and he saw these Vanaras whose eyes were filled with tears, and Vibhishan saw Ram, who had fallen down in a swoon. And on seeing Ram tormented like this with grief, Vibhishan, he felt deep agony and he asked, "What is this? What has happened? Why are you all like this? Why is Ram fallen down?" So like this, when Vibhishan inquired, fixing his gaze on Vibhishan's face, Ram, with tears pouring down his eyes, he told, "Hey Vibhishan, just on hearing the words of Hanuman saying that Sita was killed by Indrajit, Ram has entered into a swoon." So then Lakshmana, he began to narrate the entire incident, what had happened. And when he began to talk about Sita in the chariot and Indrajit took a sword and killed her and the whole thing, Vibhishan stopped him. Vibhishan stopped Lakshmana. He said, stop, wait. This doesn't seem to be right. There is something wrong here. It's like telling the ocean suddenly dried up. No, this cannot happen. I know the design. I know how Indrajit thinks. I know the design of this evil-minded Ravana towards Sita also. He will never do the killing of Sita. Even though I had begged him so many times in the past as his well-wisher, I asked him so many times to give up Sita, but he didn't heed to that advice. He will never kill Sita. Sita could not even be won by sweet words or giving gifts. He will never give up Sita. And he knows that as long as Indrajit is there with him, somehow Indrajit will win the war for him. So he will not kill Sita so fast. He's so obsessed with Sita. How will Ravana kill Sita? It is not possible. Or how will he give instructions to his son to kill Sita? That is also not possible. There is no way that Sita is dead. For sure, Indrajit has played a trick, and he's an expert in such kind of illusory tricks. So believe me, nothing has happened to Sita, and this whole killing of Sita is just an illusion. And I know these demons very well, and I know how they think also. The whole idea of Indrajit is that he's trying to distract all of you, that's all. This is just a part of his plan. I'll tell you what he's going to do. Now he will go to this place called as Nikumbila, and he will begin to do this ceremony by pouring all these oblations into the fire. And once this yajna is complete, he will get tremendous power from that yajna by the blessings of Nikumbila Devi, and nobody can conquer him in a war. So this blessing was already given to him by Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma had already blessed him that if he does this particular yajna, then nobody can kill him. So that is why he's doing all this. So this whole act of this illusory Sita, bringing Sita in front of you and trying to kill her and doing all this is just so that you all will get distracted and no one will go and interrupt his yajna. He wants to keep all of you away from this arena where he's going to go and do this Nikumbila yajna. So Indrajit's idea is that if he conducts the sacrifice for Nikumbila Devi, he will become very, very powerful in the war and no one can stop him. So that's why he has diverted all of you. But if his yajna becomes incomplete, if someone stops him in between, then the person who was responsible for stopping him from conducting this fire sacrifice will be the cause of his death. So that's why he's trying to keep all of you away. So, to successfully perform the sacrifice, he's done this trick of severing the head of this illusory image of Sita so that all of you could be distracted. So, Ram and Lakshman, listen to me. If he completes this yajna, he'll come back a million times stronger and invincible. So we must go there immediately. There is no more time for us. We have to act really fast. We have to go before the sacrifice ends. He has already gone to the arena and he's began pouring oblations. So let's all proceed to that place as fast as possible. Let's all go with our army. So then he tells Ram and Lakshman, you have to give up this grief. This is improper. This grief is highly unwanted. No, nothing has happened to Sita. Let's all get up and go. So then he asks Ram. Actually, by now Ram was already awake and he was listening to everything Vibhishan was saying. And then Vibhishan tells Ram that I think it will be good if Lakshmana comes with me now. So I'll take Lakshman with me. And I know Lakshman is very capable and he can easily win over Indrajit. So we'll go interrupt the sacrifice of Indrajit and Lakshman can kill him with his sharp arrows. Okay, so let's not delay anymore. I'll take Lakshman with me. So give me permission. Immediately Ram gave permission. Lakshmana and Vibhishan, they started going towards the sacrificial arena. Now, Vibhishan suggested Vibhishan asked Ram to send Lakshman with him. And Ram gave the permission for Lakshman to proceed. But along with them, the armies of Sugriva, Hanuman, Jambavan, and also the army of Vibhishan, all of them went together along with Lakshman. So Lakshman went to this area called as Nikumbila, along with all these great warriors like Hanuman, Vibhishan, Jambavan, and all of them to kill this Indrajit. Now Vibhishan, Lakshman, all the Vanaras, they rushed in the direction of Indrajit, shooting arrows and throwing huge rocks and trees to the army of demons. Because this army of demons, they were all covered, in the sense they were all protecting Indrajit. So he had to, Lakshman and his team, they had to actually pass through this huge army of demons. So they were continuously shooting arrows. and they were throwing rocks and trees and clearing their path and going with full speed towards this arena of Nikumbila. So when Indrajit heard all this noise, this terrible noise of Lakshmana and all these Vanaras trying to clear this demon army, Indrajit, he had to discontinue his sacrificial rite and he had to come to the battlefield. So Indrajit, he saw Hanuman proceeding towards and he told his charioteer, hey charioteer, you take me to the place where this monkey Hanuman is standing. If we neglect this Hanuman, somehow or the other, he will destroy all these demons. So Indrajit began attacking Hanuman, and seeing Hanuman attacked, Vibhishan told Lakshman, look, Indrajit has come and now he's attacking Hanuman. Now it is the time to put an end to his life. So he tells Lakshman to proceed further. And we will stop here because it's time. So here we have stopped at a point where we have Vibhishan and Lakshman facing Indrajit. Lakshman is ready to attack Indrajit and kill him. So we will stop here and we will see what happens in the next session. And we have some more to go, which is killing of Indrajit and then killing of Ravana and then the end of the battle, the lamentation, and then Sita Ram returning back to Ayodhya and Ramapatta Abhishekam. So all this will take a couple of more classes and we hope to do our final class on Ram Navami. I believe it's a Sunday. If let me know. I think it's on 25th. So if possible, we will have our final class on Ramapatta Abhishekam on Rama Navami itself, which will be a Sunday. So we have two more weeks to go before we see Ram Navami. And we'll try to finish till Ramapatta Abhishekam on Ram Navami. So thank you all so much for patient listening. If you have any questions or corrections, please feel free. Any comments, please go ahead. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much. Everything was so nectarian. And it was new to me that Indrajit created an illusionary Sita. So it was so nectarian to hear about all the pastimes. So thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna Shama Gauri Mataji. Dandavats, please accept my humble obeisances.
Mataji, very, very wonderful katha. And it's like Ram Navami is coming in, so getting the Ram Navami mood. Really, it's a wonderful experience class, Mataji.
Thank you so much for your association, Mataji. Very blessed. Thank you. Okay, if no one else has any questions or comments, we can end the class. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Mataji, I had muted you. Komodiki Mataji, sorry. Yeah, I'm so sorry, I muted you. Mataji, you have any comments or questions, Mataji? Okay. So we can end the class then. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patita